Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Chof Aleph, we want to remind ourselves of the point we finished our previous Shiur with, that is, Rava's solution to the question of if Shaviras Hamafrekis with Rov Bosar constitutes a nevela, meaning that by breaking the neck bone from behind and the majority of the surrounding flesh creates a situation of death, then why does the Torah expect me to continue in cutting the neck organs when the animal, when the bird, is already dead? Our topic heading, in fact, includes this idea. On the outside margin, we have written the Nosei and called this Hemshech because we're involved with a continuation of the discussion from the previous shiur. Pitaron, the solution, L'she'ela, to the question, V'chimesa oimeidu molek, could it be that after the animal, the bird, is already dead, you continue doing Malika? You continue doing this Malika process. D'Malika havishvira samafrekis below Rov Basar. The solution is that Malika really is the breaking of the neck bone without the majority of the surrounding flesh, da'akati lo mesa, by keeping or preserving the surrounding flesh intact, namely only allowing a minority of it to be severed or cut, the bird is not considered dead yet. The Gemara on the third line from the top, Kisolik Rabbi Zera, when Rabbi Zera traveled to Israel, Ashkechel Rabbi Ami, he found Rabbi Ami de Yosef v'ko'amar lo lahosh maitza, that he was reciting the teaching of Ze'iri, namely that if you have Shaviras Hamafrekis with Rov Basar Imo, that is a Nevela. This Ze'iri, by the way, was seen on Daf Chof Omid Beis. You'll notice on the second wide line over there. So upon hearing this, Omar Lei, so Rabbi Zera, upon hearing this, reacts, V'chimesa omeidu molek, after the bird is already dead, you are expected to continue the malika? In other words, after we break the bird's neck bone, the Torah has an expectation that you continue cutting the neck organs. But why should that be if it's already dead? Ishtoimem kisho chado. This is technically a posuk, but it's used as a phrase, meaning that he was silent initially and thought about what to answer. And then he answered, Omar lei, Emo kahu oise, thusly Malika is done. Chotech shedru mafrekes, beloi roiv bosar, the spine and the surrounding and the vertebrae are cut without the majority of the surrounding flesh. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Tanaic source that supports this, and you can see that we have the next few lines in a frame, which is characteristic of Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. Ketzad Molkin Chatasov, how is Malika done to a bird sin offering? Chotech Shedra Umafrekes Beloi Rov Basar. Notice we've dashed underlined the key expression below Rov Basar, that there is a breaking of the spine and the vertebrae without the majority of the surrounding flesh, ad shemagia leveshet olakona, until he reaches one of the two neck organs, the veshet, the esophagus, or the kona, the trachea, higia leveshet olakona, he then reaches one of those tubes, chotech simen echod oi rubo, he then cuts one of them, or the majority of that one, verov bosar imo, and then the surrounding flesh, with an Ola bird offering, Shnayim or Rov Shnayim. The neck organs, two or the majority of the two. The Gemara now is going to focus at the end of this source, referring to the Ola, And it taught in this source, you are to cut with an ola the two neck organs, sounds like a complete cutting, or rov shnayim, the majority of them. Moni, who is the author of this source? E Rabbonan ho amri shnayim davka. If it were the Rabbonan, we will see them featured at the end of this Amid, but they hold you have to have a complete severing of the two neck organs, not rov. E Karebelozer Rebbe Shimon, and if this source were to conform to Rebbe Rebbe Shimon, ho amar rov shnayim. He says only rov, not more than that. He doesn't want you to completely sever the neck organs. So that leaves us with a problem. Who is the author of this source, which gives you both options? Answer 1, Emo, say thusly, Shnayim l'Rabbonan, Rov Shnayim l'Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon. Insert that understanding into the source, and it represents, the source then really contains two opinions. Second approach, V'boy Seima, Ha V'ha Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon. The both expressions are within Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon. Umay Shnayim, what is meant by Shnayim? After all, he said that he doesn't want them completely cut. He said only rov. However, the Shnayim that's referred to is Shedoymin L'Shnayim, meaning that when you sever the rov of the two neck organs, it should be noticeably a majority. In other words, not just a 51% severing, but something more, something that when you look at it, you can see readily that it's majority cut. However, not completely cut. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that we want to note on the outside margin. The Nosei, Adam Shinishbar Loi Mafrekes, a human being whose neck broke, the Rov Basar Imo, and the majority of the surrounding flesh, Mitame Bohel. He is considered dead, and as a result of that, the conveyance of ritual impurity known as Tumas Ohel will be in place. So Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Nishbaro Mafrekes Varoiv Basar Imo, with regard to a person, if his neck bone, his the vertebrae there of his spine broke, and most of the surrounding flesh also tore, Metame Ba'oel. Then he will convey Tumas Ohel, which is the Tumah that's characteristic of the dead, which is Ohel, technically speaking, is where the dead is covered by some kind of overhang, and anything that's together with the dead under the same covering is going to be Tomei. The Im Toimar Oysa Maisa De Eli, you might ask, the incident involving Eli, who was the Kohen Gadol at the time of the birth of Shmuel Hanovi, featured in Sefer Shmuel, he died as a result of Mafrekes Beloi Roiv Bosar Havoi. That was a case of his neck broke. He fell off, from a chair, and he broke his neck, but not with the majority of the surrounding flesh. And nevertheless, the Pasuk refers to him as having died. This would seem then to challenge the rule of Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel that death sets in only with the cutting of rov basar, the majority of the surrounding flesh. Here by Eli, you see, even without that, he was considered dead. The Gemara answers, Zikno Shaini, being that he was an aged individual, then death sets in more rapidly. Dichtiv, Vayhi kehazkiro es aron ha'olakim. The Pasuk tells of the incident in which Eli died. Daily was there was a war in which the Oron of the Oron HaKodesh was captured by the enemy, and it says Vayipoil me'al hakiseh achoranis be'ad yad hashar v'tishaber mafrakto v'yomois ki zokein ho'ish v'koveid v'chulei. We've dashed underlined the main part of this Pasuk that's important for us. The Pasuk says that he broke his neck and died, and that was a result of his being old. Ki zokein ho'ish. Omar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Yom Rabbi Yochanan. Koroi kedog mitame boil. If a person is cut open like a fish, he will also communicate tumas oil. In other words, cutting a person open is tantamount to killing him. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzhok U Migabo. And that's where he's torn open from his back. Omar Shmuel, Aso Gistero Nevelo. The term Gistero is explained by Rashi. Let us take a look at the Rashi. In the a few lines up from here, Rashi says, Aso Gistero Shechotcho Lerochbo Obetzavora Kulo Obashedra Ad Hachalal. This is a reference to cutting a behemoth, let us say, right across its width, or cutting its neck completely, severing its head from its body, or completely breaking the spine of the animal until you reach the interior organs. Rashi says, "Kol davar hacholok l'shnayim kori gistera." Splitting something into two is referred to by the term gistera. So if this is done, nivela, the animal is considered a nivela, and that entails tumas nivela. Omar Rav Elazar, nital hayerech v'chalal shelo nivela. If the animal's thigh has been removed, it is also considered dead. Hechi domi chalal shelo. How does one establish that? The thigh has been removed, the halal shelah is the case. So this is explained. Omar Rova, kol shirevutza v'nires chatzera. An animal, when it crouches, it lies down, and it usually folds its legs under its body. This animal, whose leg up till the thigh has been removed, if when it crouches, you'll notice that something is missing. There is a hollow there. That is an illustration of this phenomenon of nital hayerech v'chalal shelo. Tanan Hosam. We have a Tanaic source that deals with the Shmoyne Shrotzim. There are certain kinds of creatures that the Torah features that are called Shrotzim, that when they are dead, they communicate a Tumas Shrotzim. There are eight of them. And the source here says, Hutsu Roshehen, if their heads, if they have been decapitated, Afalpi Shemafarchasin Tameim, even though they're still fluttering around, they still are considered dead. They're considered dead, even though they're fluttering. And as far as the fluttering is concerned, that's Kezonov Halito'o Shemafarchasis. That's similar to the phenomenon experienced with a lizard's tail that's severed from the body. One will notice that because of the nerve reactions, the tail continues to move. No one would say that the tail is alive. However, movement still can be there, so that movement is not an indicator of life. Hence, Hutsu Roshen, these Shrotzim, if they were Hutsu Roshen, even though we explain decapitated, the Gemara itself will clarify what the term hutsu means. Hence the Gemara, my hutsu. Before going on, let's just take note of the fact that we'll have two lushonos in this Gemara. There's a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. A few lines later, you'll notice the number 2. On that line, you'll notice a squiggle underline, Iko Diamri. The Iko Diamri being the alternative version. So here the Gemara asks, "My hutsu, what is meant by hutsu roshen?" Rish Lakish Omar, hutsu mamish. Rish Lakish takes the approach of literally decapitated. Rav Asi Omar Rabbi Moni, kehavdolas oilasa oif. He says that it's like the severing of an ola bird offering. Omar le Rav Yirmiya Rav Asi. Rav Yirmiya asks Rav Asi, kehavdolas oilasa oif l'rabbonan. Velo palgisu, do you mean like the severing of an ola bird offering according to the Rabbonan Shita? According to the Rabbonan Shita, the neck organs are completely severed. So then, if you say that, if Rav Asi's comment of kavdolas ola sa'oif is according to the Rabbonan's Shita of ola sa'oif, as opposed to Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, who talks about only majority, not complete, then you and Reish Lakish will not be arguing with one another. That's velo palgisa. Then you are not at odds with Reish Lakish, because the complete severing of the neck organs is similar to hutzu mamish. It's a complete separation, complete cut. O Duma, or possibly when you said Kavdolas Olas Ha'ov, you mean Kavdolas Olas Ha'ov L'Rebbelezer Reb Shimon. You are saying like the separation or the cutting of the Olas Ha'ov according to Reb Shimon's approach, who says that you don't completely sever the neck organs. Only rove are cut. The majority is cut, but not a total cut. And if that be the case, Upagisu, then you are arguing in effect with Reish Lakish. Omarle, Suravasi answers, Kavdolas Olas Ha'ov, the Rebbelezer Reb Shimon, U Pliginon, when I said that Hutsu Roshein means like Olas Ha'ov, I meant like Olas Ha'ov according to Rebbelezer Reb Shimon, which means there will be Tuma even if the neck organs are not completely cut, even if they're merely rove cut. And in that, I do argue with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was explaining that there would be no tumah unless it's completely cut. V'ikah d'amri, another version, Reb Shimon ben Lakish Omar Hutsu Mamish. This is the same as we saw above with Reish Lakish. Rav Asi Omar Rav Moni, Kavdolas Oilas Ha'oif Le Reb Elazar Reb Shimon V'rov Shnayim. Here, he says straight out what he means when he says Kavdolas Ha'oif. He incorporates, according to this version of Rav Asi Omar Rav Moni, he incorporates immediately into his presentation the citation of Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, that he is referring to a cutting of the majority of the neck organs. And in the case of the Shmoyne Shrotzim, even at that point there would be Tuma, whereas Reish Lakish would say that would not be sufficient to establish Tuma. My Rabbonon Umay Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Up till now we've been referring to these opinions, but we want to see where they spoke at the source. We have learned up till now that the Rabbonon and Reb Elazar Reb Shimon were arguing concerning the Oilas Ha'oif, the Ola bird offering, how much needs to be cut with regard to the neck organs. According to the Rabbonon, they need to be completely cut, the trachea and esophagus, by the Olas Ha'oif. And according to Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, rove, the majority, is to be cut, but not completely cut. And when we say not completely cut, we mean we don't want them to be completely cut. We have now a Tanaic source. This source will continue till the top of the Chof Beis Omid Aleph. Toward the end of this source, the lower part of Omid Beis, we will see Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. And when we come to his presentation, we are going to want to establish that his version of the Olas Ha'oif is that the neck organs are not completely cut. So we have the source. It begins the Sanyov V'es Hasheni Yaseh Oilo Kamishpot. This is talking about bird offerings, and it's referring to the after the Chatos Ha'of was referred to, the second, the pasuk says V'es Hasheni, the second one, the second bird is done as an Olas Ha'of. And it said, Kamishpat, according to the law. It may be pointed out that we're talking here about an Olas Ha'oif that's obligatory, that is being brought on behalf of, or being brought by someone who cannot afford to bring a Chatos Behema. In the event a person cannot bring a sin offering as in a Behema form, which is much more expensive, the Torah has an allowance under certain circumstances regarding certain types of offenses that he can bring something bedalus, literally means the impoverished man's sacrifice. And it is, in this case, we're talking about, instead of a chatos behemah, he brings two birds. One is a chatos, and the other bird is an ola. So the pasuk, in referring to the ola sof, it says, he shall do the second, he shall process the second one as an ola, kamishpat. Now, kamishpat, like the law of what? Like the law of what? So the Brisa says, Kamishpat, chatos behema. It shall be done according to the laws of chatos behema. What that means, we will see later. Ata omer kemishpot chatos behema. Are you saying that that's what it means? And later we will see that it means that it has to come from chulin funds, from personal funds, and other halachas that are learned from chatos behema. So here the Bryce is trying to verify, do you mean that? Do you mean that kamishpat in the pasuk means that the olah sa'of is treated according to the laws of chatos behema? Oy eino elo kamishpat chatos sa'of. Or maybe it's referring to the law of the chatos of, which was the topic that was immediately preceded this. And if you say that, if you say that the olah sa'of will be like the law of the chatos sa'of, then you're really telling me there won't be a need to sever both neck organs. There's no mitzvah of havdalah. Keshu omer vihikrivo, when the pasuk in the context, in a different context, but it's referring to the olah sa'of that comes as a voluntary offering, it says regarding the olah sa'of nedava vihikrivo, you shall offer it. That's a limitation expression. Chilek hakosuv bein chatos sa'of le'ola sa'of. The Torah is making a sharp distinction between the chatos sa'of and the ola sa'of. And therefore, I don't intend to compare the ola sa'of to the chatos sa'of. So when the pasuk by the ola sa'of says, and you shall do it like the law or according to the law, kamishpat, umani makayim kamishpat. So then what am I to do with the expression kamishpat with regard to the ola sa'of? So kamishpat chatos behema, I am intending to compare in some respect the ola sa'of to the chatos behema. And in what respect? Ma chatos behema eino bo elo min hachulin uvayom uviyodo hayamonis. Just like a chatos behema comes from personal funds, that's chulin, as opposed to, let us say, meiser, sheni, money, or other funds that are not personal. And the chatos behema is processed, is offered, sacrificed by day, and the blood is sprinkled using the right hand. Af oila sa'of eino bo elo min hachulin uvayom uviyodoi hayamonis. The Brisa goes on questioning how far to go with this comparison. I ma lahalon b'roiv shnayim, af kan b'roiv shnayim. Are you going to say that just like the chatos behema, in the slaughtering of it, you are expected to slaughter the majority of the neck organs, but not necessarily more than that? The main thing is just get the majority. Af kan b'roiv shnayim, so too by the ola sa'of. Is that all you have to do? Just rove and not more? Talmud Lomar, Umolak Vehikir. This pasuk will tell us that the Ola Sa'of and its neck organs are treated differently than by the Chatos Behema. Ma Haktora Harosh Ba'atzmoi Vaguf Ba'atzmo. Just like when it comes to the throwing into the fire, the head is thrown separately from the body. Af malika, so too when the cutting of the head takes place, harosh ba'atzmo vaguf ba'atzmo. That means that the neck organs are to be completely severed, creating a situation where the head and the body are, practically speaking, separate. But for our purposes, we want to emphasize it means a complete cutting of the neck organs. The Rashi points out that even if the head is still attached by the skin, that doesn't affect this idea of Rosh Batzmo and Guf Batzmo. The main thing is that we're referring to a complete cutting of the neck organs. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Kamishpat, the word Kamishpat by the Ola Sa'of, in fact is Kamishpat Chata Sa'of. I am going to compare, to a certain degree, the ola sa'of to the chatos sa'of. Ma chatos sa'of mimul oref, just like the chatos sa'of is cut, the cutting is from behind the neck. Af oila sa'of mimul orif. So too with regard to the oila sa'of. Now, how far do we go with the comparison though? Ima lahalon moilek veino mavdil besimen echad. If, like by the chatzasof, there's malikas done without a complete cutting, namely only one neck organ is cut. Af kan molek the eno mavdil besimen echad. Are you going to say the same thing by the ola sa'of, that only one neck organ, one tube is expected to be cut? Talmud lomar vihikrivo. This word indicates that the ola sa'of is treated differently than the chata sa'of. And hence, with regard to the ola sa'of, you are expected to cut two neck organs, not just one. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kemishpat. Kemishpat chata sa'of. The Kemishpat word, according to Rabbi Shimon, is to compare the ola sa'of to the chata sa'of. Ma lahalon ochez barosh ubaguf umaze. Afkan ochez barosh ubaguf umaze. This last expression or teaching needs clarification. The Gemara will do that immediately by asking the question of Mai Ka'omar. But before we get to the question, just for the purpose of translating what was just said and then show the problem, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says, and just like the Chatzos Sa'of, he says, Ochez Barosh Ubaguf means he's to hold the bird's head and body and do the blood sprinkling. So too with the Ola, the Ola Sa'of, he's to hold the head and the body to do the blood sprinkling. But to this, the Gemara asks, Mai Ka'omar, what are you telling me here? Are you really telling me that you're supposed to hold both of them in your hand at one time, and it wouldn't be enough if you were just, like, holding, let's say, the body or the head alone while doing the sprinkling? Is it necessary to make sure that both the head and the body of the bird are in your hand? So that certainly is not the case. You don't have to have both. After all, when you're dealing with, let us say, a chata sa'of, the head is clearly attached to the body. So what in the world would be the purpose of making sure that you're physically holding the head and the body at the same time in your hand? You could certainly accomplish the blood sprinkling by holding the body alone, and the head is still attached anyway, even if the head is not physically in your hand. So the Gemara answers, Hochi Komar. Thusly, we are to understand this source. Ma lahalon, the question that was asked at the bottom of Chof Aleph on the Beis, with regard to the comparison of the Ola Sof to the Chata Sof, Ma lahalon kshu achuz harosh baguf mazeh. Afkan kishu achuz harosh baguf mazeh, which means just like by the chata sa'of, we mentioned that only one neck organ is cut. Therefore, the head is still physically attached to the body of the bird by the chata sa'of. So just like that is the case, so too with regard to the ola sa'of, we want that same phenomenon, that the head is still attached to the body. Well, ima lahalon b'simen echad, afkan b'simen echad. If just like by the chata sof we say only one neck organ is severed, so too by the ola sof, Talmud lomar v'hikrivo. So to that we say no. The ola sof is treated separately, as this limitation word explains. V'hikrivo, you shall offer it, the ola sof, in its special way. And that is what's called a havdolah b'miktas, meaning you're going to cut both neck organs, but only the majority, not complete. This, of course, was Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon that we had been referring to before, who spoke about rov shnayim. Now, the Gemara makes a reference to the Tanakhama. We have a double star over here to help find what this is referring to. So if you notice on Daf Chof Aleph Omid Beis, the upper part of the page, the Tana Kama had quoted the Pasuk Umolak V'Hiktir. So here the Gemara asks V'Tana Kama V'Chi Me'achar D'Nafka Lon Mi'Umolak V'Hiktir. Once he has that Pasuk which indicates a complete cutting as far as the Tana Kama's approach, V'Hikrivo Lomali, what is the role of V'Hikrivo going to be? What is it going to teach? The Gemara answers, Ilav v'hikrivo, had I not had this posuk, Have amino, my kamishpot, I would have thought that when the Torah mentioned by the Ola Sa'of kamishpot, I would have thought, kamishpot chata sa'of, that the Ola Sa'of is compared to the chata sa'of, which of course is not what the Tana Kama said. But had I had just umolak v'hiktir, I would have interpreted kamishpot, once again comparing the Ola Sa'of to the chata sa'of. V'i mishum umolak v'hiktir, and if you'll say, well, but I have got umolak v'hiktir, which establishes a distinction. No, have amino, I would have understood umolak v'hiktir as teaching me something else. Mahak Torah b'roishu shel mizbeach, just like the burning of the sacrifice is at the top of the mizbeach. Af malika b'roishu shel mizbeach, so too the cutting of the head of the Ola Sa'of is to be at the top of the mizbeach. That's what I would have learned from umolak v'hiktir. But as far as amount to be cut, for example, I would have compared it to the chata sa'of and then come out with a different conclusion than the Rabbanan really hold. However, hashto dekosav rachmona v'hikrivo, now that I have this expression, dorosh bei nami ho. Namely, in addition to what we just suggested, Mark Victor referring to the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach, the top of the Mizbeach, I am also going to learn a complete difference between the Chata Sof and the Osof with regard to how much is severed. Whereas by the Chata Sof, only one neck organ is severed and the head remains attached to the body. That is not the case with regard to the Ola Sof, where there is a severing of the two neck organs, which we refer to as a complete severing when speaking in this context. And this we can see in the Rashi, where Dibur HaMasel Hashtu Dikosiv Vikrivo Al Korchach Akre Mine, this has uprooted the comparison completely, any comparison between the Chatasov and the Olasov, the Chiluk Legamri Mashma Le Lotanakamo, the Lotigmar Mine Klal. Complete distinction is drawn between the Chata Sof and the Ola Sof. V'ukme achatos behemo, and therefore the expression kamishpat was used to associate the Ola Sof according to the Tana Kama to the Chatos behemo. Omehash to dorish mi umolak v'hiktir the legamri iskish haktor lemalika. Now, when I have umolak v'hiktir, I have a complete comparison between the burning and the cutting. Bein linyan rosh hashanah mizbeach, whether it be regarding location, bein, namely at the top of the mizbeach, bein linyan harosh ba'atzmo va'guf bi'atzmo, and likewise with regard to the idea of complete separation, which was of course the shita of the Tana Kama, as opposed to the final shita that we saw, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, and that's the machlokes tanoim regarding the Ola Sa'of that we have been referring to along the way. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.